take your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. And once you arrive there, find verse number 1. Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1. This morning I announced the title of this evening's sermon. It's called, It Displeased the Lord. It Displeased the Lord. Numbers chapter number 11 and verse number 1. Stand with me if you would please. We're going to look at this one verse, then we're going to turn over to the New Testament and look at one verse. I'm going to read this verse out loud to you, and then we'll turn to another and I'll read it out loud as well. Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible says this, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Now, if you would please, turn to the New Testament book of John. John chapter number 8. John chapter 8, and I want you to find verse number 29. John chapter 8, verse number 29. John chapter 8, verse number 29. Notice in the first verse that we read there in Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1, something displeased the Lord. Now in John 8, verse number 29, the Bible says this, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. To me, the Christian life is far simpler than we allow it to be. Folks, you're not to displease the Lord. Say, well, what are we to do? We're to please him. I don't understand how people can complicate this thing. You say, preacher, tell me what good Christianity is. Do what God wants. And what's bad behavior? Doing what God does not want. And if we'll just think that way, our lives will be better and we'll be more successful and our God will be pleased. Tonight's sermon is called, It Displeased the Lord. Let me pray for us. Father, I ask that somehow you will help all of us to be challenged tonight. We live in a busy, fast-paced world. We have a lot on our minds. We have a lot going on in our lives. Tonight, might we slow down for a little while and just learn to please you. And help us to be on guard that we not do those things that would displease you. Lord, the sermon's purpose is not to impress anybody. The sermon's purpose is that we might have an impression placed upon us about what right and wrong is, and that we would do what pleases you most. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you heard it there in Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1, it talked about something displeasing the Lord. If you listened, it said, and when the people complained. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a little while. That'll become a part of the one of the points that I'll make to you. The people complained, and God said, and that displeased him. But it's to the point where it actually made God angry. They displeased him, and in that verse it said he became angry about it. I love what it says, though, in John 8:29, where it says, and he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Folks, that ought to be our goal. It ought to be your goal, it ought to be my goal, that we always do those things that please him. Can I tell you, Christianity has deteriorated, and somehow people get this idea that we ought to do the things that please God on Sunday. Now, I think you ought to do what pleases God on Sunday, but he's still God on Monday, and he's still God on Tuesday, and he's still God on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and on Saturday. He's the God of 7 days a week. And we're not just to please God on Sunday. And then there are some who think, you know, I want to please God when I'm down at the church house, preacher. Well, I'm glad you do. But did you know that he's not only the God of the church house, he's to be the God of your house and the White House and all the houses. And we're not just to do what pleases God when we think we're around other Christians are around what we call the things of God. Really, you're to be around God all the time, and you have to carry him with you wherever you go. we should want God not only to be pleased all the time, always, but we should want Him to be well pleased. I noticed in Mark chapter 1, verse 11, it uses these words. God said about Jesus, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In other words, maybe there's a few levels of pleasing God. But here it is said that Jesus was well pleasing to God. Now, I wish you would say, "I don't want to displease God. I want to please God, but I don't want to please God in an average way. I want Him to be well pleased with me." You know, the Bible teaches that even Jesus wanted the Father to be pleased. It says in Romans 15:3, it says, "For even Christ pleased not Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." In other words, Jesus, who was God come in the flesh, His goal was not to please Jesus, but to please the Heavenly Father. Now, we know what the Trinity, Jesus was God come in the flesh, but His goal was not to please self, but to please God. Did you know the Bible teaches that Jesus even pleased God in His suffering? Isaiah 53:10, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him." And if you go on, you find out that it talks about the pleasure of the Lord. Even while Jesus was suffering, He wanted to please God. And I know you might say, "Well, Pastor, that sounds a little difficult." Let me tell you, if you're going through a hard time and if you're suffering, you need to keep an attitude and you need to keep a spiritual composure so that when you're going through a tough time, it pleases God. You need to please God even when you feel like you're under the gun. Even when you feel like you're hurting or suffering. We ought to please God in all that we do. I'm not real sure how all of you grew up. I know how some of you grew up, but I'll just be honest with you. I really wanted to please my mom and dad. I wanted to please them. I didn't want to displease my parents. I wanted my parents pleased with me. It's my privilege that my mom and dad are still living. I am 57. Charlotte, am I 57 or 58? 58. Oh yeah, Brother Young, he's almost my age. I am 58 years of age, and I hope this doesn't seem silly of a 58-year-old person. I still want to please my mom and dad. I want my parents pleased. I do not want to displease them. And I'm glad that both my parents want me to serve God, and they like that I serve God. I have friends, and I mean good Christian friends, and I'll tell you, I want to please my friends. Now, and when I say that, you know, that some of you that want to do wrong, you want to please your wrong friends. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I have friends in this room. I have friends across the country. I got to tell you, I want to please them. I really do. I want to be pleasing to them. I want to please my family. I don't want to displease them. I'll tell you this. I want to please my church. You know, I can get up here and get a little tough and you know, throw some stuff out there. Geez, you're not going to tell me what to do, and I'm the pastor here, you know, all that stuff. I mean that ultimately, but I will tell you this: I don't want to displease you. I want my church pleased with me. I want my parents pleased with me. I want my family pleased with me. I want that. But I will tell you one thing, and I mean this, more than all of those things, I want God to be pleased with me. I really want God to be pleased with me. Well, if I want Him to be pleased with me, I better figure out then those things that would be displeasing to the Lord. And I got to looking through the Bible one day, and I noticed there are some times when God actually mentions His displeasure with things. Now, I don't know how you read your Bible, but I know how I read mine. I read my Bible, first of all, looking at me and saying, "What do you need?" And goodness, there's a lot of stuff in there that I need. And then I get to thinking this. I get to thinking, you know what? maybe if that helped me, maybe it would help everybody else. Most all the sermons I preach was God getting all over me and saying, Jeff Owens, you need this. And then I get to thinking, well, maybe there's some chance that if I needed it, maybe somebody else might need it. And so then I turn around and I share publicly what God gave me privately to help me. And I just want to please God. And I have to tell you, what I'd love to do, boy, would this be picture perfect. I would love it if I could please God, but that pleased my friends, and that pleased my parents, and that pleased my family. Wouldn't it be something if what I was doing for God, everybody fell in place and they all liked it? Now, it doesn't always work out that way. So you say, what do you do? Well, I'm going to please God ultimately. But I kind of don't want to give up the pleasing of those others. I will put God at the top of my list. But I wanted to know, what would displease God? I looked up the word displeasure or the word displease. Now, it's really a Latin word. And the definition, I'm going to give you one word that really defines what the Bible's talking about when it uses the word displease or displeasure. It's the word insulting. So that's how God defines that. In other words, God said, when you do this, it displeases me. Or God is saying, that behavior is insulting to your Heavenly Father. Now, that adds a little bit to this thing for me. If someone says, you displease me for a moment, that's got a calmness to it. But if somebody said to me, if my dad said to me, son, your behavior insults me, I'm going, oh, brother, that's heavy for me. If my Heavenly Father would say to me, Jeff, what you're doing, that insults me, that really affects me. So let me give you some scripture where I found God was displeased. I'll make a couple comments about each one of them. You can figure out if it'll help you. But I want to please God, and to do so, I better figure out some of the things that would displease Him. For instance, I think the Bible teaches that it displeases the Lord when we persecute other good Christians, or if anybody persecutes Christians. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they pleased not God. Now, let me explain. When one person hurts a Christian, or if they persecute a Christian, that does not please God. Now, let me say, you take a nation that would be considered a Christian nation, I would warn other nations to be careful how they treat one of God's nations. Say, why? You don't want to insult God and misbehave toward His people. And maybe the easy application for this is, you teenagers, I'll tell you every once in a while, you young people, you be very careful. If there's somebody in the youth department, and I hope there are many somebodies that are serving God and are serious and sincere for the Lord, those of you that really, you're not real interested in serving God, I would be careful ever persecuting those teenagers that are doing right. You say, why? God says, you are insulting God. It displeases God when Christians are persecuted. It breaks God's heart. And when the lost persecute you, I want you to understand God's not happy about that. He's displeased. And I think that's the reason why sometimes God does judge the lost when they mistreat a Christian, because God considers it insulting that they would persecute someone for standing for God. It's insulting. So, you want to be careful persecuting people for good Christianity. Why? It's insulting to God. Now, I don't want to be guilty of that. Secondly, I think we displease the Lord when we are not moral. And I'm talking about, I'm going to use, the Bible's talking about even the committing of adultery. I would throw in here fornicating, adultery, being within marriage, fornication, someone single outside of marriage. In 2 Samuel 11:27, it says, and when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. What had happened? David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And God said, that displeases me. Well, I realize that preachers out there don't say that anymore, and everybody wants to be politically correct, but around here we're interested in being biblically correct, and it's still wrong. It's still wrong. Adultery is still a sin, and fornication is still a sin. And notice the Bible says it displeased the Lord. In other words, God said, that's insulting to me. Now, folks, marriage is such a spiritually important relationship. Remember, marriage pictures Christ as the groom and born-again Christians as the bride, and there's kind of a parallel made between the two. And the Lord said, God's saying, I am insulted when you commit those kind of immoralities. And please, don't displease God with your morality. You young people that are here in our church, your pastor, as long as I'm in my right mind, I'll keep reminding you, you need to stay pure and you need to stay clean. And you say, but in this day and age, fooey on this day and age, do the right thing. And now look, there's nothing wrong. And don't you ever let anybody make you feel bad, young people, if you're clean, pure, chaste, if you're virgin. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the right thing. That's the right thing. And you say, but preacher, I've made some mistakes and it's too late. I've already made that mistake. I'll tell you what you do then. You be pure from here on out. Sure, there's nothing we can do about what's already happened, but you still have a life to live and you decide, okay, I made a mistake, but from here on out, I'm going to be pure. And from here on out, I'm going to be clean. And you say, Pastor, that's good. Teach the young people. Let me tell you, you adults that have made mistakes, why don't you decide that you'll be clean from here on out? But boy, it's very clear. The Bible teaches that God was displeased with David because of David's immorality. We live in a day and age where morality is mocked and it's minimized. I read something the other day and they said the divorce rate has gone down. It has not. The number of people getting married has gone down. They know how to fiddle with the numbers. That people just shack up and live together. Y'all know the term shack up. That really dates me, doesn't it? Well, the Bible teaches against shacking up. You're supposed to get hitched. All those big biblical terms. You're supposed to get married. Stay pure. Why? Impurity sexually displeases God. It is insulting to Him. Let me go on. I think we displease the Lord when we are happy if our enemy fails, if our enemy falls. And I know this goes a little contrary to the way the human race wants to behave, but listen to this. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17 and 18 says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him. Sounds to me that God, have you ever heard that saying, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? I'm going to guess it's kind of connected to this verse. I think God is saying to you, look, if you have an enemy, don't you go around rejoicing because they fail or they get hurt, or don't do that. God said, you leave your enemy to me and you just keep doing right. I think you say, why? Well, it's not hard to understand. I think God sees behavior when you're glad that your enemy failed or you're glad that your enemy got hurt. I think God thinks that's mean. Yeah, that's easy to understand, right? I think He thinks that's mean. You say, well, what does God want me to do? I hate to tell you, He wants you to love your enemy. That's what the Bible says. Love your enemy. Vengeance is not ours, it's God's. And when we're hateful, even toward our enemies, it displeases God. And you need to learn that. I think one of the biggest challenges of the Christian life is when somebody really becomes your enemy, that you figure out a way to love them and not want something bad to happen to them. I pray a prayer. I'm not happy I have enemies, but I have some enemies out there and they don't like me, and I agree with them. I don't really like me much, but I've got some enemies out there. But you know something I do? I pray that my enemy won't have a bad day because of his thought of me. Because I don't want him to. But I had an enemy, brother, he wouldn't have spit on me if I were on fire And I mean, he was vicious toward me. And then out of the blue, I got a telephone call and he said, I'd like to talk with you. I said, sure. Next thing you know, he was talking and everything was going so well. He said, I need some advice. I said, sure. He said, I know you know well how to do this. Could you teach me? I said, I'd love to teach you. He said, I need some help in this area, and I know you know what you're doing with that. Could you help me? I said, I would be glad to. He said, I thought you would. Amen. He said, I thought you would. You know what? I may have someone that doesn't like me, but I like them. You know, I can't keep you from being my enemy, but you can't stop me from being your friend. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous. No, that's scriptural. Now, for some of you where you don't have a bunch of enemies, you're saying, amen, that's right, that's right. You just wait. You just wait till you're the one that's on fire and they wouldn't spit to put you out. That's when we'll figure it out. But some of you, you know what it's like to have a vicious enemy. Somebody that's hateful and angry. I've actually had people launch campaigns wanting to destroy me. But I've tried so hard to do what Jesus said. And you say, why? I just don't want to displease God. Amen. And I know that if I don't handle my enemy right, that displeases God. I would really like to think that God's pleasure is found in my behavior. I want God's pleasure in our church. And I think these things have something to do with it. You see, he tells us there are some things that displease me. He said it displeases me when Christians are persecuted. It displeases me when there are immoralities. It displeases me when you rejoice if your enemy falls, fails, or gets hurt. This next one, we already heard the scripture. But it displeases God when we gripe and complain. Now we're getting down to where all of you, you're going to say, okay, this one's for me. The Bible says in Numbers 11:1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Complained. Let's stop the sermon, have the altar call. And everybody will need to leave your seat and get down here on your knees and say, you got me, God. You got me right there. Complained. Didn't say how much. Didn't say to who or what about. Just a complainer. You say, well, why don't I have the right to complain? Oh, you can complain, but let me tell you something. Anything that happens to you is better than hell, and you're not in hell right now. So things are looking up for you, huh? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says this. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. You say, well, what was happening? Well, in verse 10 it says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. What's happening? Murmuring. That's griping. That's complaining. And that's what's happening. So God said, it displeases me when you complain. Now, you say, well, but Pastor, I understand when someone commits adultery that displeases God. And that's wicked, nasty, vile. No wonder that displeases God. God said, it displeases him that you were griping and complaining earlier today. Some of you are really good at it. You can find a way to complain about anything. Your negative attitude displeases God. Griping displeases God. Those of you who are your cup is half empty instead of half full people get on God's nerves. Matter of fact, it's insulting to him. You see life's negatives long before you see the positives. Now, I believe I'm a realist, but I also been told by God that if I'm not in hell, I got a whole lot going for me. And God gave me some insight, and it doesn't take long for, if I'm having a rough day and I want to complain, if I'll work at it, I can figure out all sorts of things to praise God about. And I can put that complaining aside, but complaining is insulting to God. Let me give you another one. It displeases the Lord when we're proud. Our pride displeases God. The Bible talks about how David numbered the people in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. If you read verse 1 through 7, you finally get to verse number 7 that says, and God was displeased with this thing. In other words, there was a numbering of the people that went on, and it doesn't matter what that's about. It just says that the pride that was involved in that displeased God. It was an act of pride that caused that to happen. Folks, our pride displeases God. You've heard me say this before. I'll probably say it a million times before we all go to heaven. I think one of the greatest evidences of pride is a lack of prayer in a human being's life. You say, why? Because if you don't pray, it means you think you can do it without God. I consider that being proud. You know, the Bible says pray about everything. So those of you that don't pray, maybe you think you're all stored up and you all the source of all wisdom and all, but hate to burst your ever-loving bubble, but you're not as bright as what you think. And you don't know as much as you think. And if you don't pray, you're being self-dependent. And that's pride. And that displeases God. When we take credit for that which God has done, that displeases God. When we take credit for that which someone else has done, that displeases God. You know, pride was probably Lucifer's original downfall from heaven, and it created a tremendous displeasure for God, and it has ever since. Prideful behavior between husbands and wives. There are times when husbands and wives are not getting along, and it's really not a big issue. It's about some stupid little thing. But the problem is pride has entered the arena. And I'm going to hold to my guns over some stupid little thing. Prideful behavior will destroy us. And God said, I'm insulted with your pride. I guess I could understand it. He is everything and we are nothing. What right do we have to become arrogant or proud? But remember, the word that word displease is equal to our word insulting. And then that you understand if somebody insults you, it is more than just a common negative. It is taken deeply personally. And God said, I take it personal when you let your pride get out of hand. I take it personal when you gripe and complain. I take it personal when you're glad your enemy falls. I take it personal when you're immoral. I take it personal when you hurt other Christians. Let me go on. I think that God is displeased when we are unjust or we don't practice judgment in our dealings with people. Let me give you a verse or two. Isaiah 59 verse 14 and 15 says, and judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Here the Bible says God is displeased when judgment is corrupted. Folks, I'm a firm believer that the Scripture teaches innocent until proven guilty beyond any shadow of a doubt. I fear that our world has corrupted. God is for fairness. It displeases God when we treat each other unfairly. Can I say to everybody here, when you go to discipline your children, do it justly and fairly. Husbands and wives, you'll get along a whole lot better if there will be justice in your dealings with each other. Be fair with one another. Around the church, be fair, be just with one another. Let's make sure, look, if somebody does something wrong and they're guilty of something, let's make sure. And then, by the way, there needs to be a certain dignity practiced even if they are guilty. You say, but they're a sinner. What do you think you are? Two people shouldn't be lying in the ditch, criticizing one another for being in the ditch. We're all just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And when the innocent are wrongly punished, I think that displeases God. And I think when the guilty are not punished properly, I think that displeases God. See, one of God's attributes, what He is justice. He's a just God. And when we are not just, when we are not fair in our dealings, I think it's insulting. I don't have a whole lot of intelligence. I'm a country preacher. I always have been. I can tell you this. The courts of our land will deteriorate and self-destruct if they don't remain just. We'll have anarchy in our country. America needs honesty. America needs justice. America needs a process by which we find out if someone's guilty or not, and then punishments or lack thereof ought to be done in a systematic, and I think a scriptural and a decent way. I think one of the reasons why America has been great is because America has tried to be just. We don't do it perfectly, but we try to be just. I got to tell you, my heart is virtually decimated when I hear these stories about somebody got thrown in jail for 25 years and then they found out they didn't do it. I'm overwhelmed. I don't even know the person, but my heart just breaks and I think, somebody destroyed their life. And that person wasn't even guilty. How do you give that back? Brother Jim, they couldn't give him $3 million and give him back 25 years of their life. So justice is an issue. We need to be just. And God said, I'm insulted when you don't practice justice with people. I'll give you one more. We'll be done. I think it displeases the Lord when we turn away children. He said, well, these aren't like the others. I know, but it's in the Bible. When we turn away children, it displeases the Lord. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 13, it said, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. In other words, Jesus was insulted when they tried to hinder the children from coming. And you remember earlier when I told you that there was levels of being God being pleased. There was pleased and then there was well pleased. Here it says he was much displeased. So he has put an emphasis on the displeasure of this. So some of the disciples had brought children to Jesus because the kids wanted to get to Jesus. And the disciples, some people had brought the children and the children were trying to get to Jesus. Some of the disciples tried to pull them away and Jesus said, don't do that. And he was much displeased. You say, why? Well, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. Listen, folks, I don't have anybody that opposes this, but we have here at our church, we have a ministry where we'll go into parts of the community and pick up some kids. We call it the bus ministry. You would have your hands full if you ever tried to get me to stop that. You say, what would happen? If you wanted to stop bad enough, you would have to fire me. You say you would fight like that for those kids? Yes. I want to reach those poor kids. See, but Pastor, that's not real impressive to the community. I would like to please our community. But I want to please God more. I want to please God more. He said, but Pastor, will that hinder some people from coming to our church? I hope not. But if it did, don't try to stop the little children from coming to church. Now, there are kids out there that they love our church and their mom and dad, they don't bring them to church. And some of you Sunday school teachers and bus workers, you know what I'm talking about. You watch them come in. The Brother Andrews, you watch them come in out here. There's some sweet kids. There's some sweet kids. And mom and dad, and we love their mom and dad. We're not mad at their mom and dad, but moms and dads, they don't bring them to church. We go out and get them and bring them to church and give them a Pop-Tart and a glass of milk on a Sunday morning and tell them about Jesus. Boy, that's important. But the Bible says when they stopped the children from coming, he was much displeased. Every Sunday school teacher here, those of you that really don't treat your Sunday school class right, you try to study 13 minutes before your class starts and you haven't given a thought to your lesson prior to that, that might displease God. Those of you that don't pray for the kids in your class, those of you that don't really care. Let me tell you something. Jesus was much displeased when those children were not handled properly. And I'll tell you this also. I think everybody ought to be treated with dignity, and I think everybody ought to be treated with respect. And I just have to tell you, everybody around here, when those children, and not all of them are poor, but we do have an element of poor kids that come in on the buses. I want them treated right. Again, I don't try to get huffy, but I can. The children will be treated right in our church. They've got to be. You say, why, Pastor? Because God will be much displeased if we don't. I'll tell you this. We started our disaster relief process to start helping people. I was so delighted. I watched people carry out bags of groceries by the hundreds and take them to the poor. We took it to a bunch of the poor kids that we help. A friend had sent us a check to help with that. And I called him and I thanked him. I said, I want to thank you very much for the check that you sent to help us so we could feed people and help people after the storm. I said, we took the money, and I want you to know we've distributed over 600 bags of groceries to our bus kids. And he got real quiet. He said, I was sitting here at my desk thinking about you and the church. He said, would another $5,000 help with that? He said, when you said you were feeding the bus kids, he said, there's no doubt that God spoke to my heart. He said, let me put a check in the mail. Let's feed some more of them. I think God wants to be pleased. I think He wants to be pleased, and we ought to want to please Him. Let's not displease the Lord. I know. Very simple truth. But I think it's what Christianity is all about. Let's not displease Him. Let's please Him. He tells us what to do to please. He tells us what not to do if we don't want to displease. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we invite you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible, and we'll show you how to be born again. If you're a Christian tonight, I wish you'd just say this. I want to please Him. Matter of fact, I want Him well pleased. And I certainly don't want to displease Him. And I certainly do not want to displease Him much. And those are the words Scripture uses. Has God spoken to your heart tonight? Would you say, Pastor, there's no doubt. Tucked away in this simple, quick lesson, I have been spiritually challenged. And I see something. I'm going to let it work on me. I'm going to let it work on my heart. And God spoke into my heart tonight. Would you raise your hand and let God see that He's spoken to you through something that's been said? You may put your hands down. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. And once she does, we'll stand to our feet. And if you need the altar, you may come. You know, it might be that somebody needs to come to the altar and just say to the Lord, say, Lord, is there anything in my life that's displeasing to you at this time? He'll tell you. He'll be glad to tell you. Maybe you need to come and say, Father, I want to please you. Maybe one of those things that I mentioned that are displeasing, maybe you're guilty of it. Maybe you need to come down here and say, Father, I'm sorry. I've been displeasing you. I'm going to fix it. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. Let's please the Lord. And it says, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. I'll tell you what, we need a group of people to leave out of our church with that attitude. I want always to please Him. That's on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Hey, bus worker, take seriously what you do, because if you don't, it displeases God if the children don't get the attention that they deserve. Young people, I'm going to tell you something. Keep yourself morally clean and decent and pure. You say why? Well, you could have the displeasure of God upon your life if you're not careful. Hey, go ahead and leave your enemy to the Lord. Leave your enemy to the Lord. Don't you be pleased when your enemy suffers. If God wants somebody to suffer, He can take care of that. He doesn't need your help. He just wants you to love your enemy. Loving your enemy is a character builder anyway. It'll help you. Some of you, tomorrow morning, when you go into your usual Monday griping and complaining and letting everybody know everything that you don't like, maybe you should just be quiet and please the Lord by holding your tongue. And remember, boy, I want to please my church. I want to please my parents. I want to please my family. I want to please my friends. I want to please all those people. But ultimately, I want to please the Lord. And I'm sorry if your family or church or friend or whatever, if I do something and I know I'm pleasing the Lord and it doesn't please you, I'm sorry I let you down, but He's got to come first. And I'm not doing that to hurt you. I'm doing that because my obligation and my ultimate goal in life is to please the Lord. So I wish we could see eye to eye. So do I. Why don't you decide the same thing I've decided? And I think if your ultimate goal is to please the Lord and so is mine, then we'll see eye to eye from that point on.